Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Good evening, everyone. Sports City Chefs here with another episode of the Baseball Buffet. Right now, 9 o'clock on Thursday night, same time, same place as always. We are excited to have you here. I am here today, just me for right now. We might have Barry calling in. Our buddy Nate is off this week, but we got a whole lot to talk about today. I hope you're feeling happy, healthy, and we're going to have a couple callers coming in later. Make one of them be you using 929-477-2759. Again, 929-477-2759 is the line to call in. Right now, I'll be honest with you guys, I have the Yankee game on against the Cleveland Indians right now. It is 5-3 in the bottom of the second. Yankees have been plagued with a lack of clutch hitting, but Roughnet Odor had a very nice hit today with runners in scoring position. And let's just take a quick look around the league. Right now, Boston is ahead of Seattle 2-0. We have the Mets down by one against the Chicago Cubs in the top of the fourth. Mets have two runners on. In the bottom of the second right now are the Houston Astros against the Los Angeles Angels. And earlier today, we had Arizona beating the Cincinnati Reds 14-11. Pittsburgh took down Detroit 4-2. And coming up later tonight, we have Miami Marlins against the 11-7 San Francisco Giants. And then a big heavyweight battle despite the 10-10 record for the Padres facing the Dodgers, who sit at 14-4 right now. And I just want to welcome in Barry, the villain. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Villain. Every week is mystery meat. I'm here. I'm back in the buffet. I miss the buffet, man. And, you know, listen, Nate is pulling a Mike Francesa already on vacation. You know, like going down to Sarasota or whatever in Florida or wherever he's going on vacation, just like the Pope would do. You gotta love it, but I'm here. I'm with you. Let's talk some baseball, brother. How you feeling tonight?
Listen, after that, I wasn't feeling too great coming into tonight. Just you, I know you're a Yankee fan too, Barry. And it has been a brutal year for a team with such a high payroll. But seeing a guy like Roughnet Odor, who just was signed to the team, making a big hit with the bases loaded here late in the game, that was nice to see. Right now, we've got Loaiza on the bump, so hopefully he can keep it together. That, I'll be honest with you, I think like a lot of sports fans, the state of your team right now is kind of your emotional well-being. You know, as a Jets fan, I'm depressed a lot, but when the Yankee season rolls around, I kind of rely on them to pick me up, but it's not happening this year. How are you feeling about things?
I mean, thank God for the Knicks, baby. 14 in the East.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's my only solace right now. It's like, you know, we're in bizarro world. Upside, you know, upside down. Left is right. Up is down. Forward is backward. It's like, usually by now, you know, I've already turned the Knicks off. And, you know, I'm focused on baseball. Every ounce of it I can get, because that's the only winning we get with the Yankees. And now it's like the Yankees can't win a game and the Knicks can't lose a game. So, you know, it's definitely bizarro world.
It's really weird to see the Knicks do well, but, you know, and you know I'm a Nets fan, and I was a Nets fan before they had any of these superpower players, but it's great. I'm loving watching the Knicks do well. I'm a fan of New York City sports, and be it the Yankees or the Mets. I mean, you might recall that was my preseason prediction for how the league year would wind down with the Mets crossing the finish line over the Yankees. I mean, the only thing that came out of that was right was thinking DeGrom would be unbelievable. But, I mean, you know, water's still wet, right?
Yeah, water is wet, you know, and DeGrom is DeGrominant. You know, that guy is unbelievable. But, I mean, with the Yankees, they're struggling to hit. And you know, they're getting a little bit of pitching here and there. I haven't seen a lot of games where they've gotten completely blown out. I think starting pitcher has kept them in there for the most part. But, you know, the starting pitcher hadn't gone deep in games. Bullpen got taxed a little bit, and then games got away from late because, you know, the Yankees either couldn't get runners on or couldn't move people over in scoring position. You got guys rolling over pitches. Like, I've never seen in a Yankee uniform DJ LeMahieu roll over pitches on the outside and ground weakly to short of the third base. So, you know, that can't last forever. He's going to get it going. He's going to start playing better baseball, hitting the ball a lot better. But right now, it's everybody's struggling. You know, the young stud, Gleyber Torres, Stanton, who, you know, what else can you expect? Frazier, Hicks, it's everybody, it's a perfect storm. Everybody at the same time is scuffling at the bump.
You know, it's really funny with all the ground balls and all the kind of the weak hit ball, and you know, you said the ones that are turned over, especially a guy like DJ LeMahieu. I remember, you know, they were grabbing these guys off kind of nowhere, off of nowhere rosters, like a guy like Luke Voit, Hawkman, Urshela, and it felt like over the last 3-4 years, really going back to the 2017 season, which was, you know, one of the worst regular seasons we'd had, and then did so well in the postseason. The talk was all about, you know, solid hitting. It was, that's how you got there. It was clutch hitting, and it was the ability to have those launch angles. And I, you know, Barry, you're a big data guy like me, so I'm always curious, you know, how do you feel about things like the launch angle and exit velo, those two hot, you know, kind of metrics have come up over the last few years. And if you're going to measure by that, I mean, I'm not seeing the exit velo, but it seems like they're driving the ball into the ground. It makes me wonder, are they being instructed to hit differently? Are they trying to actually do what you would, you know, expect the baseball team to do, which is move runners around and try to get on base, and they're just doing terribly at it? I don't understand, but I'm looking at those two metrics that have really become popular, the exit velo and the launch angle, and it seems like those are the two places where they're falling off.
Yeah, I mean, I am a data guy, you know, but I'm a purist, man. I could care less about exit velo and launch angle and all that garbage, the percentages of all that. No, it's the eye test, man. I played baseball for a long time. I coach baseball now, and you know, listen, it's about, you know, it's about doing what you're supposed to do in the plate. You know, staying inside the ball, hitting the ball the other way, and you know, moving runners over. And you know, I'm all about small ball, and you know, the Yankees have always been a 3-run home run team, and as you know, Kyle Higashioka hit a home run just a little while ago, but. You know, I'm about that stuff, and, you know, they're not doing it, you know, and they're not playing smart baseball. You know, you got guys getting picked off at first base or something, or, you know, getting, you know, picked off at home, or, you know, it's just the little things that are bothering me. And then, you know, I think they're at the top of the league and grounding into double plays. You know what I mean? So
let me stop you there.
That's another thing. Yeah.
But Barry, you said it's the little things that they're not doing. That's baseball. It's the sum of all the little things. That's when the Yankees went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres and Giancarlo Stanton and Gary Sanchez. Those aren't supposed to be, you know, little things. Every single one of those guys is just strictly big things. I'm not expecting too much out of Judge to hit, you know, to hit a double, and the next guy to hit a double, and then the next guy to hit a double. That's what the machine DJ LeMahieu is like, or that's what he's there for. And you look at other teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as a Yankee fan, I personally understand that I get kind of sucked into the idea of having a full, you know, 9-man lineup, and it's truly not that. I look at the rosters of around baseball, and you know, you see weak spots between really spots, you know, 5 through 9 on every roster. But this team isn't supposed to do that. They're supposed to be able to you know, ideally you'd have a guy get on base and then the next guy hit a home run. Guy get on base, next guy hit a home run. You just win through, you know, a series of two-run home runs if you're going to do the old, as you hear on the radio, a bloop and a blast kind of model.
Right.
But,
well, I mean, you know, you're right. The guys that they have in-house are big-time home run hitters. They're also strikeout guys, too, which is boring. I mean, Gary Sheffield, a really great ball player who should be in the Hall of Fame, over 500 home runs, came out and said, you know, these guys strike out way too much. And it's all or nothing with these guys. And it's nice when they're getting it all, but when they're getting nothing, it's horrendous to watch. And, you know, like I'm looking at Mike Ford, this guy's not a home run hitter. He came in when he was going good with the Yankees for the last couple of years. He was a line drive, hitting the other way kind of guy. Now he's got that long swing, trying to hit, swing for the fences, swing for the store ports. So, I mean, yeah, you got Judge and Stanton and Sanchez who should be hitting for the fences. You know, Hicks has got a guy with a long swing that's going to pull the ball and try to get for the fences. But Torres can shorten up. When he gets two strikes, he shortens up and has one of the best approaches in baseball. Why can't you do that all the time? You know what I mean? It's just... That's the little thing. But, I mean, it's just a perfect storm of the guys not hitting, the bullpen overworked, and the starting pitcher not getting any length like Kluber and company. So, you know, it almost looked like Herman was not going to be long for this game. He settled down and pitched some, you know, six good innings. Well, why I think it looks good out of the pen. But, yeah, it's early. It's not time to panic. Like Brian Cashman said, but as a Yankee fan, you know, we don't like losing, and it's frustrating to watch.
Well, I mean, I'm a Jets fan. And I don't like losing, and I'm used to that, you know. I see we got somebody joining us right now. Who do we have on the line? You are on.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's Big Easy here with you guys. You're getting ready to talk some baseball.
Finally, we got my boy Eric on. What's going on, buddy?
How are you doing, man? Just relaxing and watching some baseball and hanging out with you guys.
Oh, tell us, what game do you have on?
I was just going through the Pirates game. I got the MLB Network, so, and I'm kind of scrolling through right now, seeing what game that we're going to land on. I was looking for the Angel game, but unfortunately... it is blacked out. I don't get that one. So, yep. They're down 3-0
anyway right
now.
How do you not get the Angels game in your in Colorado?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, Yes Network has been frustrating me. I don't know if you've had these issues, Dave, but, I mean, here – they have, like, two Yes Networks now. They have one, you know, like an A and a B or one and a two.
Right.
So the Yankee games are usually on the two, right? And then, you know, usually the one game is usually, like, the Nets, basketball, whatever. And then sometimes I go to the Yankee game, it loads up. And I have, you know, I have internet TV. I have AT&T TV. And it loads up, and then it says, you know, then it shows the next game. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, oh, my God. And then you try to go to a channel that should have the game blacked out in your area. I'm like, if I don't get this Yankee game, I have to go to the app. I have to scan the app to watch the Yankee game because of this nonsense. And I'm not the only one. I've seen it on Twitter. A lot of guys complaining, you know, can we get the game on here, blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous.
I gave up, man. I gave up. I just go with the app every time at this point, just, you know. And that way
so
I can be frustrated with the same thing every week. No,
yeah,
of course
I'm not the only
that'd
one.
Be too easy, man.
Yeah, I watched a really good game earlier, though, man. The Reds and the Diamondbacks. That was a really good game. I don't know what happened to the Reds. I thought they were going to, you know, continue on their streak, but their pitching is just pretty much folded in the last week.
I mean, the Diamondbacks won that game by a field goal, right?
Yeah. 14-11.
Late field goal, to you know, in the closing seconds, right?
Yep. Exactly. But yeah,
you know,
Jesse Winker, he's having a big year so far. He's out to a really good start. Castellanos is doing really well. Votto, Suarez, is, you know, and Nick Senzel are non-existent right now.
You know, Votto, I think, is the kind of guy. He's going to come on really strong as the rest of the year goes. And I just don't – I don't see that team succeeding without him. I mean, Senzel can only do so much for you.
Yeah, exactly. But they're going to need some pitching. Jonathan India, too, he's a, I mean, they got a really good a lineup going on right now, but their pitching has to hold up. I think they, you know, have a fighting chance to come out of the Central.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that about Jonathan India. I was looking at players around the league, and Eric, Ed Barry, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, but I was just kind of jotting down some notes during the day today. I mean, you know, India's, I think he's, what, 23, 24? He's 24.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think, like, if you look around the league, one of the things that I've always thought baseball's had a problem with is they don't market their stars, and there's so many young stars in baseball right now. I mean, you look at Jonathan. He's I don't think he's quite India right now. He's quite on that level of like a obviously not a Fernando Tatis, but you know Acuna's got a lot of you know name recognition. I mean, the guy's in the cover of MLB The Show this year. You know, even Bo Bichette or the guys from Toronto, they've got a lot of name value. But I one thing I'm curious on from you as you click around these games, do you feel like the youth in baseball is really doing what they need to do, not just on the field but off the field, the marketability and where I think, quite frankly, Mike Trout has, you know, it's I hate to put this on his shoulders, and he does not want this. And as we all know, Charles Barkley once said, you know, he's not a role model, but you do carry some weight by being so big and important in the sport. Do you see anybody in the league right now who's poised to just put the sport on his shoulder, who's, you know, in that 25 or under range, maybe 26? But I can't think of anybody. I mean, Fernando Tatis, like I said, he's on the cover of the video game, but I don't know, man. I'm clicking around looking at all these games, and I'm just curious, who's going to be the next face?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, other than Mike Trout, you look around. But you brought up a valid point. I really like those guys out of Toronto, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think these guys can emerge into huge superstars. Fernando Tatis Jr. is already, you know, coming on to that level. Also, I thought Eloy Jimenez, you know, had a chance to, you know, get on that level. So you know, there is a few guys out there that can do it, but baseball, they need to, because there's quality players and really good young up and coming superstars on almost every team in the league you can go through and look at. So baseball needs to, you know, be marketing these guys, you know, especially on their local channels, like the, you know, now it's Bally Sports, you know, most of these has changed over to Bally Sports instead of Fox Sports and stuff like that. So, but they just need to do overall better promotion, especially on MLB Network, MLB.com. You know, Bryce Harper was up there for a minute with Mike Trout, and then other than that, you know, he kind of fell off, so it's just been Mike Trout pretty much running the show right now.
I mean, there was a little period of time where you were almost hoping like a guy like Puig would be the next big thing, and that didn't really work out.
Yep.
Barry, what do you
think? Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, man. Like, listen, I think the problem is that baseball, while it's a national sport, is a regional game. I think with the time zones. You know, us in the East Coast, we as baseball fans know Trout is that guy. He's the best player in baseball. I don't care what any player you put in front of me, Trout is the best player in baseball. But
absolutely,
Nobody knows that. Nobody sees it. You know, it's like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, doesn't make a noise type of thing. Like, it's like you hear about him, but you don't see him because he comes on at 10 o'clock. By then, you know, I'm laying in bed, you know, trying to wake my wife up or something like that. You know, like, I don't watch the game. I don't get to watch Angels games. So, you know, unless they're on USA, not USA, I mean, TNT, PBS or ESPN's yep. Sunday Night Baseball, I don't really get to see Trout very often until he comes to the East Coast, which are like, you know, a couple times a year. So I think the fact that the game is so regional is a problem. And I think to EZE's point, you know, I think there is a problem with marketing these kids, because you look at the guys that are the name brands like Trout and Betts and Judge and, you know, DeGrom and Cole and Freeman and all these guys. But Yelich is a guy that it should be marketable. Acuna, who I picked as my preseason MVP, is a guy that is totally marketable. Tatis Jr., who's on the cover of MLB The Show, signed that massive contract. You know, obviously has the injury right now, unfortunate for him. But, I mean, that's a guy that they should be leaning on. But, you know, these kids don't have what NBA players have. It's like their own shoe, their own brand. You know what I mean? Like, MLB needs to take these kids, give them a cleat, okay? It sounds stupid, but give them a cleat, okay? You know, and then put them in front of brands that they can market with. Like, you know, I'm watching the Cleveland game and Progressive Field. Put them in a commercial with Progressive. Like, you know, Chris Paul
hang out with
Flo. State Farm. Yeah, hang out with Flo. I mean, if they do something great like that, like, you don't get Jeters and A-Rods every time. You know what I'm saying? You don't get these guys that are so name brand and so marketable and so well-known that they don't need that engine behind them. But you know what? I worked at a big marketing agency like Octagon Marketing that, it you know, can push these guys behind and get them the right deals to get them to be marketable. Do that. That's how you win with these guys. Because there's a lot of money in the game, Dave. And there's, you know, they're getting a lot of digital money, just like the NFL is and NBA is. But they're not marketing their brand. And that's a problem.
No, it's frustrating. I mean, as we touched on last week, you know, I have my daughter, she's 3, really getting into baseball. And a question I ask myself all the time is, you know, if I want to go out and for her birthday or over the summer, and, you know, it's like, hey, I want to get her a jersey of whatever the next player that is worth getting a jersey for, you know, and it's frustrating because she doesn't have any name. And even if she was a little bit older, you know, maybe say it's someone like your son. You know, if they were watching a game, who would they see commercials? You know, you brought up the ability to put players to commercials. You can't get through a basketball game without having half of the players you're watching be in some type of ad. I mean, even when it was like Subway, I remember at one point, you know, this is going back like 10 years, but when Eli and Mark Sanchez were just big names, neither of them were really superstar players. I mean, Eli had come off the Super Bowl, so that's a little bit different. Sanchez was playing some quality football there and got a good team, but you couldn't go near a Subway or a Pepsi, you know, a place with like Pepsi and not see a cardboard cutout right now. I mean, yeah, you'll see. I think Aaron Judge is pretty marketable
because
he has that recognition.
He's a spokesman for Subway.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
Aaron Judge, you know, if he can stay healthy, he has
Jersey
potential.
Mike, right?
Yeah.
The fact
that
he's
with Jersey Mike,
I think. Pressing.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah. But you can't even golf. You know, I don't watch a ton of golf. I'll completely admit I'm one of those guys who, when Tiger's involved, I get dramatically more interested. But, you know, I will tune into the majors, and you can't get through a golf broadcast even without having, you know, somebody like a Justin Thomas just talking about a golf ball. And your explanation of the cleat, you know, when you first said it, Barry, I was like, oh, that's kind of silly. I mean, why are you going to – who are you selling the cleats to? But you're not – it's not just the kids, but there's also that sense of, hey, this is something we have to sell you. If you go out there and you play and you enjoy this, you too can wear the Fernando Tatis shoes. Yeah. That's a really good point with that, or even if you want to sell, you know, get like Louisville Slugger, just put a Louisville Slugger in somebody's hand with a good smile and a backstory, and I'm sure they'll take the paycheck.
But you know what the one thing is, and it kind of goes to my whole thing of how, minorities in America, more so African-American kids, don't play baseball. One, it's a kind of a boring sport. It's a slow sport. I love baseball. I've played it since I was a kid. My dad brought me up on it, so I've always been into it. But a lot of my friends weren't because it was slow and the pace wasn't quick. But it's like the problem is you have to buy the equipment, right? So you have to buy a bat. You have to buy cleats. You have to buy a glove. Like basketball, all you need is a ball and sneakers, and you're out there. Football, they give you equipment. You don't have to go to the store and buy a helmet and shoulder pads, right? So that's the separation of, like, hockey and baseball with basketball and football. It's more accessible, right? But then
right.
To your point, which is why you think it's silly, and I do too at a certain point, is, okay, you can give Aaron Judge a cleat, right? But then where are you going to wear the cleat? You're not going to wear it to school. You know, you're not going to wear it to the ball. You know, you're going to wear it to the ballpark. You're not going to wear it out, you know, when you're just going in your car. You can wear LeBron's shoe anywhere
right.
outside of the basketball court. You can't wear a cleat other than to play baseball. But if they're
yeah.
not playing baseball, then what's the point of having the cleat? You know what I mean? So it's that's the problem.
You're not wrong, but like I said about the golf, I mean, a lot of the golf equipment,
mm-hmm.
except for, you know, your Nike Dry Fit shirt, which, again, you'll mm-hmm. see all the time, but the ads, in, like, for golf, you know, programs are drivers. They're the golf balls. They're occasionally, you'll even see an ad for a tee. So I get it. I don't think you're wrong, and you know, you use a cleat as an example. Absolutely, I think that resonates with, you know, like what Jordan did with the shoes and what, you know, you've seen with, like, Carmelo's, et cetera. Every player's got their shoe. I could go through a whole list, and I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to. But, you know, with baseball, you can do other things. I think, you know, a bat, terribly lazy of an example, but something like a hat. I don't know. It just seems
yep.
like there has to be something that you can market to kids or players. And I'm, you know, this is why I have the job that I do. I'm not smart enough to come up with what they can sell. But there has to be something. I do believe when I was, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I thought the sunglasses the players would wear on the field, the Oakleys,
yeah.
I thought those were the coolest things. And I think it might have been Gary Sheffield, in fact. He had a pair of Oakleys. I saw an ad for the Oakleys, and Gary Sheffield was in it, or whichever player it was, and I went, I got them. I had to have it. And, you know, you got to look at what the players have on them right now, like a glove. But, you know, a glove is an easy thing you could do. You just you have the individual glove, just like every basketball player has their own unique jersey, it feels like these days, or a unique one for each game, and you turn that into the basketball jersey. But for baseball,
right.
You know, for Mother's Day, you can sell the pink gloves. For the 4th of July, you could have, you know, red, white, and blue gloves. And if all you do is you sell children the glove, then, boom, you've got a glove, you get the ball, you go out to the park, play some, you know, pitch and catch.
Yeah, equipment is one thing, but it's like it's really kind of come down to marketing them in other areas outside of baseball. I mean, listen, like, what's going to differentiate the Aaron Judge glove from – the Mike Trout grub. You can squeeze harder. It's softer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the marketability?
What's the difference
that?
Between
so,
the shoes?
It's just
well,
his
that's
name.
A terrible
it's just
question.
Putting his name on.
Yeah, but it's also putting. It's also. If I say that in front of the wrong people, my days will be done.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just a quick reminder as we hit the halfway point on the show that if you have any thoughts you want to bring to us, the number is 929-477-2759. I'm on here with Barry and Eric, and we're talking about how to make baseball more marketable. And I just want to kind of wrap up my thought there by saying you're exactly right. One of the problems is, what is it? Can you market to the players? You know, right now, one of the things that has been marketed fairly well, at least to me, or I just seem to be getting all the targeted ads, was MLB The Show, the video game that had basically forever only been available on PlayStation, and this is the first year it's available outside of the PlayStation and the Xbox. I have a quick kind of rhetorical question for Barry. Are you a gamer? Have you ever played any of baseball games in your life?
I have every baseball game from every year. I get it pretty religiously. I haven't gotten the new one yet. But I mean, I go back to The Show. I had the old MLB games. I used to play it on my PSP.
Played all my old PlayStations. You know, I played baseball with Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill. I go back to MLB baseball on Sega Genesis, where I had like the old school Mike Stanley and Wade Boggs
wow.
and Don Mattingly. Okay, so I go way back with baseball games, and they all had that same little swing, like that kind of same power swing, if it was a high strike or a low strike. You know, I'm talking like,
right.
you know, Danny Tartable, you know, was my power hitter, and Mike Stanley,
oh.
you know what I'm saying? Like, so I go way back, and a young Derek Jeter that couldn't hit, okay? I go way back. So, yeah, I'm not a huge gamer. Like, I try to, like, I maybe get, like, 30 minutes a week. I'm not, like, you know, like, I just don't have the time to really sit down and game. There's always something to do, and there's always a kid to chase after, so. Yeah, that's my pain. But I you know, I have my PS4 down here, and you know, I actually have my controller right next to me. I just, you know, don't have time for it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What about you, Eric? You ever play any baseball games?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just ordered the new Xbox Man on Amazon, so I have that coming. Yeah. So, you know, my first games I'm going to get is the Madden 21 and the show. So I'm looking really forward to playing that, man.
Let me make a quick pitch
just
for
like
you there, Eric.
Hold
on, go ahead.
Just like Barry, I've been playing it all the way since the days of the Super Nintendo. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So the MLB 2K series was good, too, on the PlayStation. So, yeah. And I look forward to continuing it. So, like I said, as soon as that gets here, I'm going to Walmart and getting those two games. So,
you love to hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I could tell you, Dave, I actually had to Google it because I forgot the name of it. I can't believe I forgot the name. World Series Baseball. That was
everything. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. That was everything. So, like, they had the stadiums. From the point of view, like, that was like, the greatest thing ever. But when you hit the ball, every stadium pretty much looked the same. But, you know, it was like it was like the greatest thing because that was when the ballpark in Arlington was new, and it, like, you could see, like, the whole thing on your team. It was like, this is amazing.
It was magic.
And then when you hit the ball, it's like, the stadium looked the same.
Yeah. It's like, hey, the left field in Boston is green, so that's a victory, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say I went and got the Jackie Robinson Deluxe Edition of MLB The Show this year for Xbox because, like you guys, certainly like you, Barry, I mean, I had going back to the PS2, I loved The Show, and then I ended up switching to an Xbox, but I needed The Show. I needed it. Mm-hmm. So I got myself a PSP and got The Show for it every year. I had a system that was literally the only game I got for it. I did the same thing with the PS Vita, and then I got away from it for a number of years, so I was really excited when The Show became available for Xbox. And I don't want to forget to tell you, Eric, if you got the new Xbox or you get Game Pass, both Madden and The Show are available on Game Pass, so you only need to pay the monthly fee and get both games, amongst many others. EA actually has their whole library available on there now, so just worth noting, save you some money.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out, and then I can just download it right then and there, huh? Ready to go.
Absolutely. But I've been playing the game for a couple of days. I got it early last Friday. My daughter actually was diagnosed with COVID, and she has since come out okay. No symptoms or anything like that. Was perfectly fine today. Today was the first day we came out of quarantine, but while I was in quarantine, I got a lot of time when she was asleep to play The Show. And just to reassure anybody who's on the fence, and Eric, hype you up a little bit, the mechanics in the game, it feels like they have not changed, yet they've also evolved. It's just great intuitive systems, simple hitting if you want simple hitting, or complex hitting if you want it. The stadiums, because we all brought it up, absolutely gorgeous. The presentation is fantastic. If anybody is thinking about getting The Show, I highly recommend it. And if you are an Xbox, person, it is available on Game Pass for free, you know, just with part of your subscription. So highly recommend it. Go grab it. Big fan of The Show. Always have been. Probably always will be until they run it into the ground.
Yeah, I definitely have to get the online online feature. That's how much I have in game. Like, it's not worth me spending the money to have the online pass or whatever for PSP or PS3, 4, whatever. So I'm on 4. But, I mean, like, I would do that just so I can play you online so I can, you know, give you a can of whoop-ass, but, you know.
Now, I got a question for you, Dave. How is the franchise mode on that? Have you been, you know, I like doing the franchise mode, you know, taking a team and doing all that. So is that a pretty good play, or are you just playing games on that, or have you actually started a franchise?
I actually like the Road to the Show modes. I always fan of playing. What's fun about this year is, and I don't know if they did it last year because I didn't have last year's because I didn't have it on Xbox, is they have a system where, you know, you create the player and then they choose a career path, you know, and I'm like, you know, NBA 2K or Madden. But now if you come up as a pitcher, you can choose to be a pitcher / everyday player just like Ohtani.
Yeah.
So it makes me think.
That's what I heard.
And it's awesome. It's great. So, you know, every 5 days I pitch, but the days in between, you know, I can hit, you know, I can go 2 for 4 and finish the season with 20.
You there?
No, I don't think I think he got cut off, but, yeah, I mean, I thought it was my phone, but, you know, it's not. It's not. It's Dave. Dave, you know, bring yourself back in. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Road to the Show too, and I heard about the switch that Dave was kind of alluding to, and I think there is a kind of a mode in there, Eric, that basically says, like, you can you don't have to pick your position. Like, you can kind of move through this your career, and then you can kind of start to pick it, which is kind of frustrating. I like kind of picking my position and, like, kind of having the attributes of my player when I set it up, like when I go to, like, the showcase and then I go through the minors. You know, I guess that's kind of, like, a little different this year. But, you know, listen, MLB The Show is the creme de la creme for baseball. There's some baseball games out of there, like RBI and all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing like The Show. Yeah, it's like there's nothing like The Show. Their presentation is just, you know, top notch. They do a great job. You know, the franchise mode, which I like to play sometimes. I used to play that a lot. Now I'm more into creating my own player and going the Road to the Show. You know, I've gone to the majors with my players. I that's the one gripe I had with, I think, 2020 or 2019. It took forever to get to the show. It took forever. And then it's like, you know, it's like by then, you're like, I don't want to play this anymore. You know, but like, you know, some of the other games, you know, I get to the show, I'm hitting home runs, you know, I'm like World Series MVP, you know. Then I got traded to the Cardinals. And then I took them to it, World Series. Fuck it. But you know, it was a great thing. Like, you know, I love the Cardinals too. So, you know, listen, it's a great game. I love the presentation, and they do a great job with it. I'm just happy that, you know, Xbox players can now kind of have the same fun that we as PS4 and PlayStation players have. Playing this game, because I think my son had, to your point, Dave, MLB or whatever, I had to buy him because he didn't get he watches me play the show. I don't let him play nobody gets to play my PlayStation, but he watches me play the show. He has his own baseball game, but now I can actually buy him a game if he's good. He's got to be
if he's good.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny you mentioned that about playing the game and barely being able to make it up. And it kind of reminded me of a story that I saw this week, not to abruptly pivot it. But there was this player, I think he was playing for Atlanta. Hold on, let me find his name. He had been in the minors for, I think it was something like 10 years, 10 or so years, and was fighting in AAA just to make it back up. And one of the questions I saw that was asked of this guy was, you know, you've been spending almost all of your adult life trying to get from AAA to the majors just for a shot to get an at-bat. I'm curious, how do you feel if you were a guy who struggled in AAA just to make it to the majors? Do you admire somebody who guts out almost a decade of his life just for one at-bat, or do you think it's better to just kind of call it a career, like at some point Tim Tebow did with the Mets and said, this isn't for me, and go on to other endeavors? What do you think about guys like that who are just so driven to do it that it takes up so much of their being?
Like kind of like we're talking like Bull Durham. Like Kevin Costner,
yeah,
and Bull Durham.
Quite frankly, that was the comparison that I saw the most.
Listen, if it's your dream, you know, you got to go for it, man. If you know, it's a hard life to be a career minor leaguer. I don't know personally, but I mean, I've seen it, and you know, the Yankees actually had a nice show off chronicling some of the young stars that they had coming up through the system and going on the road with the rookies. So you see the life that they go through. I thought it was really good. I can't remember the name of the show, but if you ever see it on off hours on YES Network when, you know, they're not playing a game or playing, you know,
right,
that those guys on ESPN Radio, clowns, you know, give it a shot. But
his name is Kazmar Jr.
Okay, all right, good deal. But listen, if it's your dream, man, go for it, man. Don't stop. Maybe, you know, stranger things have happened, and you know, if all you need is a chance, you get to the show and you might stick, and you know, they can't take, you know, force them not to take you out of the lineup, man. So you know listen, chase your dream, man. Everybody's got a dream. You can still get close to it and get close to the sun without getting burned, you know, go for it.
Yeah, no, it says, you know, it was a 12-year, 206-day gap between major league appearances, which is just,
wow.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine what I was doing 12 years ago. And let's just say it was probably, there were a lot more club sodas involved.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably chasing after some girls or something like that, you know how it is, you know.
Hey, listen, that's what your 20s are for.
Yeah, exactly. Living your life.
You know, so I was wondering when reading about that of how far some guys would go just to make it to the majors, and it's well documented. And now isn't the time, but you know, we know in the 90s a lot of guys would do things like you know, Mark McGwire did Andro, and you saw things like HGH, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's guys who take what seems like an illegal route still, but a less egregious, aggressive route. And what I mean is guys who are using things like sticky stuff to get a better grip on the ball as a pitcher, or even something like pine tar to get a better grip on the bat. And, you know, I hear the argument from ball players on multiple different broadcasts and interviews, and I'll often hear some players say, no, we want that, because if a pitcher has a better grip on the pitch, that means he'll actually throw it in the strike zone, potentially be less wild. If you've got a bat in your hand, it gives you better control, and it makes the game more natural. And every time I hear about it, I always think, you know, maybe they should legalize something that can help you get better grip on the baseball as a pitcher. Then it just seems like it would feel – this sounds so backwards what I'm going to say – but it feels more natural, and that is you're getting the desired outcome when you make your pitch, when you swing your bat, rather than something fluky. I mean, Nate and I had talked about something like electronic umpires, and I was all for it in that then every call will be closer to perfect than you could imagine. Of course, you're still going to have some misses, but when it comes to every single pitch, you're just going to get the desired pitch. I mean, do you feel differently? Do you feel like having sticky stuff available for pitchers or for batters, is that just, you're just highly against it? You would like to see it regulated? What do you think? Because I love the idea. I think pitchers who want to throw a 98 mile an hour fastball with you know, a high spin rate in the upper corner of the strike zone, if they can, enable it as much as you possibly can.
Is that for me or for Eric?
Either one of you. You start, Barry.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess I'll bring up the famous George Costanza line. It's not a lie if you believe it. You know. So I mean, like, you know, I kind of look at it like, hey, listen, it's you know, it's one of those things, it's those unwritten rules, that's the purity of the game. That's what makes baseball so special. I think, you know, the little, you know, edges that people give each other, like, you know, catchers painting their fingernails, that's, you know, that's to give them an edge, the pitcher, so the pitcher can see what pitch they're throwing down. Is it cheating? Maybe, but that's part of the game, right?
Maybe.
You know, so, you know, but seriously, it's part of the game. It's just one of those things. Like, like we saw Conforto lean into a pitch to get hit to win the Mets' first home opener, right? So, you know,
so wait,
you, know you don't have to get
cheating.
Out of the way. No, it's not cheating, but it's like you don't. It's not illegal to not get out of the way, right? It's that's a part of baseball. So,
it's also not illegal for A-Rod to yell at the third baseman as he's trying to catch a pop-up.
Sure, I mean that's bush league. There's a difference between cheating.
No,
it's either
cheating or it's not.
Right, that's what I mean. But it's like it's not cheating. It's part of the game, you know. And I think like. Having an electronic strike zone, okay, yeah, you'll get the pitches right, but what about those pitches that are just off the plate that the pitcher gets a call on? That's part of the game, you know. That's just the nature of the game. It's not wrong, you know, but that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm old school, baby. I'm old school. I'm a purist, man. I believe in you know. A high fastball and a wide strike zone and you know button to you know break up a no hitter, you know, I believe in that stuff. And you can scoff all you want. I don't care. The villain doesn't care. That's why I'm the villain.
I don't completely disagree with you. Let me be clear. I think if it, you know, you try to keep the purity of the game. I'm saying if they made a rule to allow it, it's more. You know, like that way you don't have to worry. If you're a pitcher, you don't have to worry about having the sticky stuff on your hat. You can just, you know, have a rosin bag out there. You know, just it's not about the game. I get what you're saying. But if they instituted a rule where it was just widely okay, would you be okay with that? Because, I mean, you look at a guy like Gaylord Perry. That's always the first name I run to when these types of conversations come up is, you know, he had, what, over 300 wins, 3,500 strikeouts, and he was a spitballer. And at the time, it wasn't illegal, I don't believe, but it was these things were highly frowned upon. I know it's illegal to put foreign substances on the ball, so I guess you could argue, you really should argue that it is illegal. But why not just legalize some universal substance to put on the ball, whether it's gamesmanship or not.
Just like you said, you know, it's been part of baseball for years. Just like you said, Gaylord Perry used it, the spitball, an infamous pitch. You know, I wouldn't mind if pitchers were still throwing that. Because it's a part of the game. You know, cheating, I look at like, you know, and they've been stealing signs for years, trying to steal each other's signs. So the Astros just went to a whole nother level when they did that, you know, and had guys out there in the outfield zooming in, taking the signs. And, I mean, that's a very, very creative, that they did. I mean, they got really creative, but at the same time, if other teams aren't doing it, that's where the problem is, because you do have an advantage. You know, that, like Aaron Judge, he was pissed off and said that they need to be stripped of the title. They got robbed of their chance to go to the World Series. And you can kind of agree with that. You know, if you know what pitch is coming, you're going to have an advantage. So if that's going to be going down, it should be available for every team, you know. So that's why I think they get kind of the black eye. Topps baseball cards made a card of them 2017, and it said Houston Astros and it had a garbage can. So you know, it is what it is. But you know, you're gonna have to. It's gonna have to be across the board or nothing. You know. So I mean, look what the Patriots did too. Belichick filming, you know, other teams' practices and all this. So it's just the nature of professional sports, and it's been going on for years.
Well, I mean, I know we've all heard it as sports fans, and it's somewhat true and infuriating, but I love the quote, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Now, I don't love cheating, don't get me wrong. But, you know, as a Jets fan who's watched the Patriots kind of skirt the rules sometimes, I'm a very rare Jets fan. I really don't think largely the Patriots did anything wrong in their 20-year run with Tom and Bill. Again, conversation for an entirely different podcast. But, you know, I love to see the guys try to make any attempt they can to get an edge. I love the idea of – so, as a Yankee fan, I abhor the idea of them doing something what the Astros did. But what I do like is the idea of a runner on second who, with no assistance whatsoever, somehow tries to, you know, I'm trying to be silly with this, but come up with some winking system or flapping their arm for an outside pitch or something down. Clearly that would be obvious and get called out, and you get called to the carpet for something so blatant. But I do like the idea that if you come up with something organically, I think that's the key word for me is organically, come up with some type of way to gain a competitive advantage that's not straight up dirty. You know what I mean? Like what the Astros did with the whole computer system and the banging. And quite frankly, I am of the belief that Altuve had the buzzer, but I don't see anything wrong with
that. Look what happened. Sorry to, you know, interrupt, but look what happened when they were celebrating in the locker room and Springer was dumping the wine on him. And he was backing up, and then another player went to rip off his jersey, and he held on to that for dear life. So,
He even signaled, no, don't do it.
Exactly.
But as we come close to the end here, we've got about 9 minutes to go. One of the last things that I've noticed, certainly for the Yankees, amongst all teams now at this point, and I know I touched on this with Nate, but I'd love to get, Barry, your thought here, because you're a baseball lifelong fan, and I know you respect the sport outside of just the Yankees. What are your thoughts on all the teams just almost rotationally resting players? I mean, you know, we've gone from seeing Cal Ripken play, you know, over 3,000 games in a row to now you might not even see some players play 3 games in a row. I mean, that's a bit dramatic, but you know what I mean. 3 games in a row is a series. You want to get a guy through a series. I consider baseball a rhythm sport. But are you offended or outraged or upset by these resting players, or do you understand that it's just a long haul and you're trying to get these guys as fresh as possible for the playoffs and get the most optimal lineup, like, say, what the Brooklyn Nets are doing with their resting strategy or what the Yankees are doing by not playing everybody every day, although today's lineup seemed more like a punishment. But what do you think? I mean, are you okay with it?
I mean, I guess the load management in basketball is translated to baseball. I mean, you always give guys a day off, especially catchers, you know, a night game into a day game, and you'll usually give a catcher a day off. I think as a paying customer, if I was going to the game and I wanted to go see Aaron Judge play and he's not in the lineup, I'm pissed. Just like if, you know, Derek Jeter was not in the lineup when I was growing up or guys way before that, like Darryl Strawberry, I'd be pissed. But, you know, it's a long season. It's a grind. So you do need a guy to get a rest here and there. But, I mean, if it starts to get to the point where you're getting a game off every week and getting a couple games off every week, then we got a problem. Either you're hurt or you're just, it's Bush. Yeah, huh?
I think that's where we are.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of draw the line. Like, you know, it's the grind. That's your job, though. That's what you're supposed to do. We, you know, it's 162 games. It's a long season. Everybody has to play the same, you know, long season, traveling, you know, back to back, sometimes, you know, night and all that stuff. So, you know, I think to that end, I don't like it. I don't like if they're taking a lot of time off because, to your point, the guys before them didn't do that a lot. So, I do want them to play. I want them to be accountable on the field and helping the team win.
I have one issue with the take. Just one minor issue, and it's one that I think there's a lot of easy arguments against it, but you said that's their job. I personally don't believe it is their job to go out there and play day in and day out. I even if you told me, you know, their checks are cut 162 times, and that's their job for the regular season. And I know I'm honestly not entirely sure if they play for free, quote unquote, in baseball. I know they do that in other sports. In the playoffs, you're paid for your regular season, but you play not to go Herman Edwards on you guys, but you play to win the game was 20 years ago, right? You play to win championships now. That's the Michael Jordan effect in my eyes on all sports is you're not playing to win the game anymore. You play to win the championship, and that's two completely different things. You're more than happy to lose a couple games. It's no different than, you know, the old saying, you lose a couple battles to win the war, and I think that's what all of pro sports are, except for maybe hockey at this point, you know, and football, just because there's so few games. Granted, you do see teams rest players who have locked up a playoff spot towards the end of the season, but it just seems like an epidemic in baseball, certainly, where you're not trotting the best players out there day in and day out. So I've always thought, you know, is the season just too long? Should they go back to 154? And if they did go back to 154, hey, that's a lot of money out of a lot of people's pockets. So how do you compensate that in favor of the sport? You know, do you ask for more from your partners? But how do you guarantee that players won't just say, oh, woke up with a sore back, this is going to be my rest day now? And how do we know that's not happening now? That's one thing I really do not like to do is speculate on anybody's injury, just because you never know what somebody's going through. But, you know, it felt like growing up, everybody was there every day. And you had said you'd be disappointed if Aaron Judge was in the lineup. When we were growing up, Barry, or at least when I was in the late 90s, early 2000s, I knew the core four was going to be in there and was going to at least, you know, have some impact on the game every time. Now I wouldn't know. The only time I would get disappointed is if Mariano didn't go in there for a save.
Yeah, if we weren't winning.
But Barry, we were always winning.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny, though. A lot of games that I went to, Yankee games, we didn't win a lot. So, you know, I went to one of the first games at the new stadium, and we actually won that game. I don't think I've seen a lot of wins after that. I've seen some here and there. So it was just the luck of the draw the night it went. But, yeah, listen, I feel like if you're healthy, play, man. Play baseball, man. It's not hard, man. You know, you're playing a kid's game, and, you know, I have to sit in front of a computer for 40 hours a week and lose my vision and don't get to go out as much. So, and that's all year round, you know. So, I mean, you get to play half of the year playing a game out in a beautiful grass field with your buddies and playing the kid's game. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I can't stand that take, and I will address it next week. And when I absolutely tackle the mindset that baseball is a sport that's meant to be played for fun, that it's a game, it is in no way, shape, or form a game. It is not meant to be fun. It is a business. You're there to win. That's your only job. But I'll address that next week and expound upon that thought. I do want to give you guys both a moment to do your plugs if you want to shout anything out. Eric, you go first, then we'll close it off with Barry and myself.
All right, great show tonight, guys. Love talking baseball with you. And for all our listeners, we thank you out there. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. Make sure to get some merchandise and represent: hoodies, shirts, coffee mugs, tumblers. Check it out, folks. Have a blessed night, everyone.
All right, Barry, what you got?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Get to the website. We're blogging. We're doing the podcast interviews, all that stuff. Get out there. Start blogging if you're on the team. But you know we're on there all day. We got big things cooking. We got an NFL show coming up soon. You know, we're gonna do next week's show. You know, we're previewing the draft. So, you know, stay tuned with that, with two of our new hosts, Roger and James, coming back. So a lot of big things going on. And I got to say, rest in peace to Shock G, another rapper gone way too soon, man. Crazy. But thanks for having me, dude. We're out.
You got it. It was a blast. Check out www.sportcitychefs.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sport City Chefs, And hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, we will be a little bit earlier in the week, probably Tuesday, as the NFL draft takes over the sports world. But thank you all, and have a great night.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on the spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's a